Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Magic Johnson sent out a tweet today.
Okay.
And said it was a long, lengthy one. I don't want to read it all because his tweets are the funniest, most boring things I've ever seen. But anyway, his point was, ooh, there's going to be a lot of action in that series. And it's going to be interesting because the Rockets have all of this young athleticism. But the Warriors, they've got some veteran know-how. But at the end, I think the Warriors can do well, provided that Jonathan Kuminga is the X factor.
Yeah, boy.
And I was like, oh, Magic doesn't send his own tweets.
Or he doesn't watch ball. It's possible he sends his own tweets.
It's possible. And it's possible that he sends his own tweets.
Well, I don't know how.
It's possible that he doesn't watch ball, but I'm like,
it could be both. I don't know how closely. Like, when I read his tweets, I read them maybe in his voice, and so I think that he sends them, but it just sounds to me like he sends them because, you know, it sounds like it's coming right from Irvin Magic Johnson. And it's a guy who's probably not watched a lot of Warrior basketball, and maybe he hasn't watched a lot of Warrior basketball of late, because if Jonathan Kuminga is the X factor, then the Warriors are getting swept because Jonathan Kuminga is probably not going to play that much.
I will be glued to my TV during this year's playoffs, and I'll be at every Lakers versus Timberwolves game watching three of the NBA's most exciting players, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and Anthony Edwards.
Okay, you're good. I mean, that's an accurate
tweet.
There
you go. Yep.
They'll be there, and they are really good players.
He said, I'm scared for my Lakers because the game's most exciting player, superstar Anthony Edwards, is a matchup problem.
Okay. I mean, these are tweets that I would not imagine that someone on his staff is sending these out.
I can't.
These feel like they're straight from Magic himself.
Mm.
And, you know, if you're not watching Warrior basketball, or you're a casual, or you're looking at it from the outside and you've not been paying attention, then yeah, Jonathan Kuminga would be an X factor because he's a really good young player. And if you're not watching what's actually going on, you probably think, yeah, they need Kuminga to play well in order to be able to beat Houston.
He picked the Pacers to win over the Bucks 4-2. And then he tweeted again an hour ago. I changed my mind.
Boy.
I think Giannis Antetokounmpo will put the Milwaukee Bucks on his back and lead them to victory over the Indiana Pacers.
Yeah, and the news about Dame makes that prediction, I think, more accurate because Dame Lillard will play coming off of the blood clot situation, and doctors are saying it's a lightweight miracle that he was able to get over this in just 3 weeks.
I mean, we thought he was quote-unquote out for the year. I think this is still the year. So yeah, this is that's completely shocking. I still don't know how connected the Bucks look, but yeah, anyway, I don't want to go too far down that hole, that whole rabbit hole. Look, I know that everybody has had their commentary on this. Their emotions are in it. And that's fine and fair. And I actually, you know, I would not make the same sort of proclamation with you that I did going into the game against the Memphis Grizzlies, where I took the under on 30 seconds. I do think he's probably going to get on the floor at some point in this series. Probably. There are a bunch of different scenarios that could lead to that. But one thing was clear after talking to Steve yesterday. It's not in the plans. It's not the plan. Warrior basketball, that's not the plan. And so I just wonder if people are ready to accept that, because what he's very, very clearly saying is Jimmy Butler plays that position. He's very good. You all accept that. They don't play well together, so I'm going to play Jimmy Butler. And I just don't know how we don't arrive at a spot where that should make sense to everybody. That should make sense. I'm not saying you have to love it. I think you have to accept it, though. You have to accept it.
It's the reality.
And they're winning.
Right.
We're here.
Go back to the last time the Warriors were in the playoffs, and I know he was in his second year, and I'm looking at it right here. They played the Lakers, best of seven. Game one, Jonathan Kuminga, DNP. Game two, he played 9 minutes and 43 seconds, and they won by 27. I believe all of that came in the fourth quarter when the game was already decided. Game three, he played 9 minutes and 11 seconds. They lost by 30. That was, again, garbage time. Game four, he did not play. Game five, they won by 15. He got 2.5 minutes. Game six, they lost by 19. He got less than 4 minutes. All of that was non-consequential. We need a body playing time. So I know he's a different player than he was 2 years ago, but it shouldn't surprise us that Jonathan Kuminga is at a spot where he's not going to be in the playoff rotation.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of what I have. And this is, you know, look, you're all welcome to call the show all the time. That's what we do here. You're all welcome to think whatever you want and feel whatever you want and express that. And Dibs has his positions and I have my positions. I would like to not go too far deep into this once the playoffs start, unless there is something new that happens. I think that everything that was said yesterday was lengthy. It was definitive. It was clear. This is where we are. And so it shouldn't surprise anybody anymore. And I don't think it's productive, to be quite frank.
Well, it's not even a story anymore. Like, Jonathan Kuminga is back-to-back games where he did not play. They weren't both must wins, but they were treated as such. And the rotation was limited and he didn't play in either game. And then Steve, you just played the sound and we heard the interview again. And Steve was pretty clear with the reasons and the approach. Now, Jonathan might play. He could play, but I don't think that it's very likely. And I look at the Clipper game and going in the matchup, the way the Clippers play, I thought, okay, it makes some sense that Jonathan Kuminga wouldn't play in that game. But then the Memphis game, and that's why I made the bet with you, I thought that that was more of a Kuminga-friendly matchup with the up and down, the frenetic pace, which is what the game was. The game was everything I thought it would be. High scoring, it was an over, it was not close, and then it was close, and then it was not close, and then it was close, and he didn't play in that game either. So if you take a slow game, and he's not playing, and then a really fast game, and he's not playing, then what are we doing? You know, what's the debate point? Well, there is no debate.
That's what I took from yesterday. This is not, it's not matchup dependent. The Warrior basketball, like, you could make your little whatever, like strength in numbers or what have we said? We Believe or Warrior Basketball. Right now, we're not playing him.
Yeah, it's not a good slogan.
It's not.
It is a tagline.
It's true.
Warriors Basketball. Okay, but not JK. Yeah.
It's better than okay.
Thank you.
So 888-957-9570. The other thing that we started off the show talking about, and I do want to launch into this, with our next guest, who's going to be on in about 7 or 8 minutes, Ryan Hollins, former UCLA Bruin, and then former, and then you can fill in the blank of almost any NBA team. Actually, except for Rockets and Warriors. However, somehow he has ended up as an analyst for the Houston Rockets. And he's a good dude, and he's a good analyst, and he's going to jump on here next. And I really want to get into him. What are the matchups that matter here? And for me, the more I thought about this as we get ready to launch into the weekend, I really am focused on the Warriors' brains. I think that that's where this series is going to be won or lost. And there's a little bit, for me, too much focus on the, they're all 22, they're all tall, they're very good on defense, they'll beat you up, this, that, and the other. I don't see this as an X's and O's series that comes down to physicality. I see this as an X's and O's series that comes down to mentality. And I don't know how in that kind of a matchup. So I'm not telling you the Warriors win the title, because there are other very mentally strong, experienced teams in these playoffs. LeBron James is in these playoffs. Nikola Jokic is in these playoffs. But in this particular matchup, I have a hard time believing how the Rockets are going to think their way through three of the smartest players in the game today, four different times, when the key players have never played a playoff game in their life. That's the part for me I can't wrap my head around.
Yeah, and I don't think that you necessarily have to outthink a team to win four games. You maybe have to outthink them in one game. You have to do what you do as a team, and I think that Ime Udoka is a good coach, and I think that he's going to have a very specific strategy for his team defensively. It's a good defensive team, and what we saw last time against Steph Curry, they'll probably try to replicate it, maybe not in the same level of physicality, but I'm sure if you went into their team room, the top line item would be, don't let Steph Curry beat us from three. That has to be the number one job, and they did a good job of it last time these two teams matched up.
They have done a good job of it. Yeah, yeah. But again, how do you go about doing that? You go about doing that by, I would argue, largely doing a bunch of illegal things and finding out.
Not necessarily.
Well, I mean, anything where you're stopping someone from going from to point A to point B is technically not legal in basketball.
But they did many other things in the last game other than just hold him and grab him.
Of course,
they guarded him very well and legally in many spots.
In some spots, but never did I see him on a possession where, when he did not have the ball, where they were legal at all times. And that happens. I'm not saying you can call everything, because you could stop the play on every single possession if you could. But how close that they call that, to me, is going to be somewhat decisive as we look at how this thing is officiated and how it plays out. I wonder if you saw what Udonis Haslam said about Jimmy Butler on a recent interview. I want to share that with you guys. I want to enter it into the conversation with Ryan Hollins, because I think it was super interesting from someone who's played with Jimmy and LeBron and Dwayne Wade and people like that. So all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Coming up next, Ryan Hollins. He is part of the Houston Rockets broadcast team, longtime NBA player himself, a tall, lanky, athletic guy himself. So we'll get into all of these matchup questions with Ryan coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's Violent Stalkers or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark, you out here sounding like a hater, my brother.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Not at all. Out here watching Andrew Wiggins play basketball, actually, right now. In a do-or-die situation, Eastern Conference final play-in game is underway with the Heat having a small advantage here in the first quarter.
Yeah, it was a bigger advantage, but now it's a smaller advantage, and it grows again. Could not be a bigger Heat fan than I am tonight.
Why is that?
Because Trae Young, maybe that's what I should have said, is bugging me. The way that he punked out of the last game that they played in the play-in tournament.
You didn't like that, huh?
I thought that it was just weak sauce. It was petulant. It was immature. And if you're a superstar, you should be better than that.
None of those things describe our next guest. I'll tell you that. River Island's guest line, it's our friend Ryan Hollins. Longtime NBA analyst and now covering the Rockets and part of their broadcast team. And it's been a minute since we've gotten to catch up. Hey, my friend, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Not too much. Just getting ready for a little playoff series, you know? What do you think about this one?
It's exciting. It's a true rivalry. I can't believe we're getting it in the first round. And, you know, you see the TV coverage. It's an ABC game. Coming up, I think game three, ABC went and took it. So, you know, you kind of see everything at stake, man. But I just don't think it gets any better. And we're going to have some, you know, some fun games here and, you know, just rekindle everything.
A little bit weird when the two seed is the underdog and they are the unexpected team, perhaps, to be in this spot. What's the Houston perspective about the relative chip on the shoulder for this young Rockets team?
You got to understand, you know, we have a team full of guys with chips on their shoulders. You know, everybody on the roster, including the coach, has something to prove and has that mentality. And that's why Houston's had the success that they've had. So I think you take that. Our guys are taking that as fuel right now. And at the end of the day, there's a high level of respect for Golden State. But you do see a bit of a change in the guard this season. You know, Oklahoma City's the best team in the West, you know. Rockets are number two, so some of these young stars are emerging. Now, at the end of the day, Mark knows this better than anybody does, that you got to go and make good on it. So the challenge for Houston is to show, hey, man, we belong on this stage. And if you've seen what the Rockets have done this season, they have gone out and gotten wins against the best teams in the NBA. Okay, Boston at Boston, Golden State at Golden State, swept Cleveland for the year. You know, you can go down the line. You know, beat Dallas with Luka. Like, you can go on down the line and see these wins. Oklahoma City at home. Like, there's everybody Houston has knocked off and, you know, played good basketball with.
Ryan Hollins joining us, part of the Rockets broadcast team. Hey, man, the first answer you gave said it was a true rivalry, and I get what you mean by the history of the two organizations, but to the current Rockets players looking at it that way, like, They've got not only no history against the Warriors, let's be real, Ryan, they got no history against anyone in the playoffs.
They haven't won. They haven't won.
They haven't played.
They got the monkey off their back. Yeah,
they haven't even played playoff games.
Well, whether it was in the playoffs or not, that was the one team. Here's the thing. The Warriors have always, since then, played their best. They've had a bit of an edge every time they see Houston. I'm telling you, man, for the last couple of years, Golden State would be trashed. They're up and down. They can't make free throws. They can't do all this and all that. And they play the Rockets, and all of a sudden, everybody's firing on all cylinders, you know, and it's been somewhat mental before then. So, again, I that's the point where I say it's a rivalry, because they have a little extra looking to stick it to Houston. And because of that alone, you can say, okay, there's a little more gas. And you saw the sell. It was only when I see all our guys get on the floor and celebrate. So I do think there's a rivalry, whether it was playoffs or not, both sides there. And the first time, this is the only team that Houston had not beat was Golden State. Literally.
And they went out and they got the win, and the Warriors beat them 3 out of 5. Kind of a weird way to look at it, though, because the Warriors didn't have Jimmy Butler for 3 of those, and a couple of those Steph Curry didn't play. When you think about the series, Ryan, is this one where Houston's going to have to try to slow it down and grind the Warriors out defensively in order to try to win these games?
Somewhat. I think you lean on your calling cards. I think Houston has to win the physicality game. At the end of the day, you don't want to come out and try to outshoot Steph Curry. You don't want to trade baskets. This is not a team that trades baskets well at the end of the day. And I think that the defense, the offensive rebound, the tough plays, if Golden State can take those away, they've got a great shot to be successful. If not, it's going to be a really long series for the Warriors.
Ryan, will you update me so that I don't have to search here on the internet in the middle of our conversation? How many times were you on a team that went to the playoffs?
Probably half my career.
Okay.
I mean, Boston, Dallas, Clippers, so probably around half.
Okay, so do you remember your very first playoff series?
Dallas, I do.
Okay, so what did that feel like? Because I really want to access how much of a factor that is in this series. The Warriors and all of their playoff resume versus the key players of the Rockets who have never done this before.
The first time I was, you know, happy to be out there, but I was ecstatic because it was the truest form of basketball. And from a competitive standpoint, I'm the type of guy that will rise to those occasions. You know, so the juices and the energy really got me going. And for me, it was a good deal. And that could work for Houston also. Jalen Green is a guy who shows up in big moments. So saying that that's his mindset and seeing that he, you know, just really digs in when those moments are there, I think it's going to bode well for our young guys. And the one thing is, you know, the intensity goes up. The speed of the game goes up. The physicality goes up. And Houston's been incredibly physical and played hard all season long. So at the end of the day, that's something that really bodes in Houston's favor.
Is this something where, as a player who's never been in the playoffs before, can the veterans help you and prep you for what is going to come? Or is it something that you have to just get in there and go through?
No, the veterans can prep you. I remember Eric Dampier. You know, I had to go out and guard Tim Duncan. And he knew if he had foul trouble, I was next up, and I ended up being next up. So, you know, I remember Dan Pierre telling me, hey, keep him off the box. You know, if he gets on the box, the bank shot's coming. You kind of open his game up. Hey, when he faces up this way, when he faces up, he likes to drive right. This way, he likes to turn fadeaway. So, you know, you get those nuances, and sometimes there are things that a veteran can give you that's not on the scout report. Fred VanVleet, he doesn't have to fear the Warriors. He beat them. He won a real championship against them, you know, on the biggest stage. So he's there's a lot that you can glean from him. Jeff Green won a championship with the Nuggets. So, you know, he's had wisdom all season long. But, again, when you're on those teams, you've had success. You've seen what it felt like. Dylan Brooks knocked out the Warriors, what, in the playing game, you know. So, there are guys who can bring nuances to the table. And again, Houston has a group of defenders, not that you can ever shut out a guy like Steph Curry, but the communication was really good in the last matchup. So hopefully those are pieces that they're defensively they can come in with confidence with.
Ryan Hollins, Rockets analyst, part of their broadcast team with us here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. All right, you said his name. Let's do it. Dylan Brooks or Draymond Green, who's more inappropriate?
Man, this season it's been Draymond by a mile. Dylan's gotten some texts. He's gotten a lot of reputation technicals, but he really hasn't had to get into with anybody this year as much as you probably seen, you know, in years past. He's done the chippy things, the bumping shoulders and all that, but all the scuffles and stuff, you haven't needed it. And Dylan, you think he's just this wild card, and so with Draymond. Draymond's not just getting into it with anybody for no reason. He knows that if he can take a player out or get him psychologically out of it, that it could really affect the game, and he's willing to make those plays so Steph Curry can play the best that he can play, be the best version of himself, you know, at the end of the day. So those two extremely cerebral, but if it gets down to it, man, they're going to toe that line, brother, and we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, Brooks out-teched Draymond this year, 16-13, each with just one ejection. So safe to say they both were on their best behavior, Ryan?
Well, they know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. And, you know, Dylan's not going to be the target of Draymond. Draymond, I'm going to tell you right now, Draymond's going after Şengün because he knows how important he is to Houston. He's going to try to play those mind games with him, and Draymond might be saying, "Hey, you get kicked, I get kicked. That's a win for Golden State." So he is going to look to toe that line with Alfie. He is going to try to get under his skin, and you know, it's the biggest sign of respect. If he don't respect you, he's going to let you do what you want to do on the floor. But if he has respect for you, he's coming after you, man. And that's just what Draymond has done, and why he is a world champ.
Ryan, even if I took kind of the matchup out of this and just asked you about the Rockets, nice year, 52 wins. They're clearly kind of ahead of schedule, but it also feels to me like when you look at the framework of the West, that's a team that's still a year away from really making noise, don't you think?
You know what? Things are so wide open that Mark, normally we can gauge and say this is supposed to be this. But Mark, if I told you to bet your last $1,000 that the Houston Rockets were going to be second in the West, you'd look at me like I was crazy. right? You would.
Yep.
And as deep as the West, a lot of the stars that we're used to seeing, the Currys, the LeBrons, okay, those guys are getting older now. They're getting older. There's a changing of the guard happening. And now, not to say LeBron doesn't have a chance, but we've seen the most parity that you can see in the NBA. And heck, a lot of people are pointing towards the Lakers. And I think you have to see how that plays out when they're in a situation where, you know, they got to guard five good players on the floor. When they got to run around the perimeter, they got to work, or they got to box out, rebound, then run in transition. You know, when teams are making them defensively have to bring the effort, you know, how good are they going to be? So I just think there's something so wide open as an analyst, Mark, you know, it makes it incredibly hard for you to project what you think is going to happen.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what types of games they are. I do think a lower scoring game favors the Rockets, but Ryan, I'm wondering about the idea of having been there in order to advance and actually win the championship. And I know you weren't a part of the Dallas team that won the title in 2011, but you were in 2009, and it felt like Dallas had to go through some things before they could get over the hump. Do you find the same thing maybe in store for Houston, where they have to go through the playoffs once or twice before they can get over the hump?
Yeah, I'm not going to say, you know, we projected this team to be world champions. You know, that would be a lie. But I think things are wide open. I think they're absolutely wide open. And it rests on two young players' shoulders, you know, who've been up and down but significantly improved. Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green. And the quicker that they can make that jump, or the more they can be consistent, Houston's going to roll. And that's the challenge, or that's the best thing about the Houston Rockets right now, is that they can play both hands. They can say, hey, if Jalen Green or LP turns into a guy, we're good now. We don't need to do anything. If we don't think or we have to project and we think they're just going to be good but not maybe great players, go make a move for somebody. You know, so I think they've got wiggle room to kind of bet both ways. So there's a lot that you're going to be able to glean from this contest. But ultimately, yes, if we're talking world championship, those guys are going to have to be 1A and 1B. They're going to have to show us something that we hadn't seen before. We've seen glimpses, but we're going to have to see it at the next level.
Who do you think's winning the series, Ryan?
Like Houston. I think they've shown a lot. I think when I'm looking at Golden State, it's not the same Warriors that we know from the past, Mark. It's not. They're really good, but I don't think great. I think they're too Curry dominant, where Steph Curry, the problem is when he has to do too much. And I'm looking at this team, even with the excellence of Jimmy Butler, he still has to do too much. That's not a good mix. Now, obviously, there's the veteran presence there, and you know, you can see, hey, what are those guys going to look like? But I like Houston because they can win without their offense. And again, that's going to be a challenge.
Fun to hear your voice, my man. Thank you so much for doing it.
Oh, man, anytime, brother. You know it.
All right, there he goes. Ryan Hollins, part of the Houston Rockets broadcast team, with a little bit of the breakdown of the matchup that is coming up starting on Sunday night right here, Willard and Dibs in 95.7 The Game.
We should circle back with him next week after we've got some actual games that have been played and we get his thoughts on what he's seeing.
Yeah, I don't – it's funny. What he said right out of the gate, I don't really agree with, and I think is actually a bad sign for the team for which he works. Like, he called this a rivalry. The only way this is a rivalry is if the Warriors logo is in your brain. How on earth is this a rivalry? Like, they're all 22. They've never even been to the playoffs. Jimmy Butler just got here. The only way this is a rivalry is if you as a Rockets franchise are like, damn it, dude, the Warriors are always in our way. But Fred VanVleet was asked this similar question in practice the other day, and he's like, this is not that team, and that is not that team. There's nobody here who was a part of any of those previous experiences between the Warriors and the Rockets.
Yeah, 2019 is when they faced off in the postseason.
Right, so I think Ryan is buying into a narrative that, to me, is a bad thing for the Rockets.
I think it's a good thing for the Rockets.
How
not,
so?
Not that you need extra motivation, but you're going up against a dynasty and multiple players who are four-time champs. And so if you need to ratchet up your feelings and make it feel like it's a rivalry, and you're the underdog, you're the two seed, and that's why I was asking Ryan about the whole chip on the shoulder, and he said, well, you know what? They got a chip on their shoulder anyway.
Don't say that to Draymond. He says the Warriors are the underdog.
Well, he's wrong.
I know.
But, I mean, you can...
I just said don't say it to Draymond.
Well, I mean, if he would come on the show, I would say it to Draymond.
He said it on his podcast. He said we're the underdogs.
Right, but they are not.
They are in game one.
They are in terms of them being the seventh seed, but and the whole idea of favorite and underdog for me relates only to gambling. And because when two teams play and the score is 0-0 before the ball gets thrown up, neither team's a favorite, neither team's an underdog unless you look at the perception.
Well, sure. The expectation. The expectation. And I don't agree with Draymond either. A, from the gambling standpoint, it's factually wrong. But even other than that, just pull the world. Who do they think is going to win this series?
Exactly.
The Warriors.
Right.
The Warriors. So,
and if Houston wants to think that this is a rivalry, then go ahead. And maybe they're going back to the in-season tournament, which was an elimination game that they won. They knocked the Warriors out, and maybe they're expecting the Warriors to have a chip on their shoulder after they lost that game and didn't get a free trip to Vegas.
Let's talk to some fans. 888-957-9570 is the number. Would love to hear Warrior fans' take on what is the matchup that matters in this series that's coming up this weekend. Let's go to Mr. D in the city. Hi, Mr. D. What's going on? Thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just want to know, what do we expect to get from Ryan Hollins? He's been a Warrior hater for ages. And when he played, he wasn't that good. So I don't even know what we expect to get from him.
Well, we're getting some insight.
The Rockets' perspective.
Yeah, some insight into the team that the Warriors are about to play. He knows what's going on with that group. He watched all 82. You know what I mean, Mr. D?
Yeah, he might have watched all 82, but he's watching with one eye because he hates the Warriors. He always has. If you see any interview, when he talks about the Warriors, it's always something down. He always got something bad to say about the Warriors. I don't accept anything he says because he don't know what he's talking about. He wasn't even that good when he played.
Well, he wasn't. I mean, a lot
10 years in the league. I mean, the guy played 10 years
right.
as a pro.
But so I understand where Mr. D's coming from. Like, he's never a frontline player. He's a journeyman guy. I've known Ryan for a long time. I have all respect for people who put on the jerseys, man. Like, if you make the NBA. But I understand where you're coming from. Ryan was never a core player for anyone. He was never, and Mr. D, thank you. He was never a core player for anyone.
He never started a playoff game, and he did go to the playoffs four times in his 10-year career. So when you asked him that, he was close. He said about half the time, and I think it was 4 out of 10. And he's a guy who played, 9 or 10 minutes, and I liked what he said about, the vets being able to help younger players. And that team that he was on with Dallas, Eric Dampier was, former Warrior, was the big, and he also had Jerry Stackhouse on that team, Jason Kidd, Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Terry. So he had a great group of vets that many of whom would go on to win the title just a couple years later.
Let's go to Jason in Concord. Hi, Jason. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Hey, I'd like to hear what you guys think about the matchup here coming up. The Warriors, knowing the past years, going up and down the court. Young guys past the years, but now we have Jimmy. Do you guys think it's better slow tempo since we have Jimmy instead of going up and down with these young guns? Well, let me not use the word guns since we're not talking about the Memphis youngsters going up down the court. I mean, I don't know if it's ideal matchup. Me personally, I'd love to play the Rockets rather than play the Lakers, but now that we're really deep into it, this is young, very athletic team, long. And I don't know if it's ideal to match up their tempo type style. Let's think about it a little bit. Maybe with Jimmy now that we have, slow the tempo and use the experience versus the youngsters that they might really burn us.
I don't disagree with you, Jason, but I also think you're blending some narratives here. Thanks so much. Like, I don't have this in front of me. Dibs, maybe you do.
Yep.
The Rockets are young. I don't think they play with a ton of pace, though.
No, they're identical.
Yeah.
The pace that, according to Basketball Reference, the pace that each team has, the Warriors are 17th in pace. The Rockets are 18th.
Yeah, there you go.
They play almost identical paces. Now, what's interesting is how they go about scoring the basketball, because we know that the Warriors love, love, love the three ball. They shot the second most threes per game in the association. And by the way, 6 threes a game fewer than the number one team. Boston shot 48. The Warriors shot 42, and they're second.
Jeez.
So that,
Boston is crazy, dude.
Bananas.
They're bananas the way they play.
Houston is 21st in threes attempted. They only attempted 36. But the big difference is Houston is number one in rebounding.
Right.
In the association. The Warriors, I think, are fifth in total rebounds, but Houston is number one in offensive
number
rebounds.
One.
Yeah. They're number one in offensive rebounds. They are number 7 or 8 in defensive rebounds. So that to me becomes the game. When Houston shoots and misses, who gets it? Because if the Warriors can hold their own on the glass,
just hold their own.
Yeah, hold your own.
I'm getting myself ready for some annoying second chance points. It's going to happen.
Number three.
But nice. But I like, man, I keep hearing this, and in my mind, and maybe I'm wrong, but in my mind, this word that we keep using as like something bad for the Warriors, to me, is something good for the Warriors. I keep hearing people bring it up. Watch out, the Rockets are young. When the hell has that worked in the playoffs? I get it. If you're 36 and you go to the gym and that guy you're playing up against is 22, that's hard. I get it. Amen Thompson looks like a problem. This is the playoffs, y'all. When the hell is that? Oh, watch out for that team. They're going to run through the playoffs because they're young? No, that's not how it works.
When I asked Steve Kerr that yesterday, and I'm sure we have the cut and we can play it on the other side, but he wasn't buying it either, because my premise was late in a series, younger players, younger legs can kind of get more comfortable and they're going to be fresher as the games come more frequently? And he said, no, they don't. No, they don't. He kind of waved me off Matumbo style.
I'll play that for you, and a bunch of people want to weigh in.
No, you don't.
It's a good laugh. And listen,
I'm just trying to get it down.
I'll give you a two for your Willard. No, that's a bird. 888-957-957 is the number. It's the last hour of the week. It's the last hour of 95.7 the game until the playoffs start. So what's the matchup that matters to you? Let's talk it out. It's your calls the rest of the way. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs.
I mean, what kind of question is that?
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 the game.
All right, man, here we go. Good Friday. We're heading into the weekend. Got a basketball game on Sunday night. Giants are taking on a wobbly Angels squad that's lost four in a row.
Yeah.
And they play in the best division that has ever happened to the history of Major League Baseball.
Is that a fact, or you're just making it up?
I'm just making it up, but it's how I feel.
Well, I mean, through 20 games or whatever it might be, I don't know if you could find another division that has been this.
The Padres have the best record in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
The Dodgers have the second best record in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
The Giants have the third best record in Major League Baseball.
All right.
And the Diamondbacks are tied for the fourth best record in Major League Baseball. Actually, I'm sorry, let me amend that. They just lost, so they're a half game out of the fourth best record in Major League Baseball. That's your division. Thank God the Rockies are here. And thank God you don't play so many games against the division anymore.
You only play 12.
Yeah.
And the Rockies are on pace to win a game this year. They're 3-15. So they're kind of killing the drill as far as like best division through 19 or 20 games ever.
Wait, that'd actually be fun. So 18 games, 162 divided by 18 is 9. So... the Rockies are on pace for 27 wins this year.
Yeah. 27.
Sweet.
That would be, I believe...
A record?
A record. Well, it depends on where you want to draw the line, because you go back to like the early 1900s, and there were some teams that were that bad. I don't know if a team ever won, 20 games or 25 games. The Cleveland Spiders, I believe, had a season that was below 30 wins. They didn't play 162, though.
The White Sox last year kind of threatened a record,
which is why I was looking at it a lot, because they were...
They're bad.
Yeah, and they also were looking at maybe the worst run differential in history.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
And then they unfortunately caught a little fire. Cleveland Spiders, I was right, 20-134. Back in 1899.
Oh, but they only played 154 game schedule.
Right. But a winning percentage of .130. And yeah, thank you. Right now, the Rockies are at .167.
Will you spend some time on that? Thank you.
Randy.
You spent all week getting wanting more dings. You got a ding.
It felt great. Thank you. And I know he did it reluctantly. Yeah,
he said thanks.
Yeah.
I know. No, I want a timely thank you, like a sincere one. Like, look him in the eye. And spend like...
I'm going to give him the thanks that he wants.
7 seconds on that thank you.
No, you don't.
You
have
know what you want? Thanks.
Yeah. That's what I want.
That's what he wants.
Okay.
Well, he wants the Diver horse. Got it. Thanks.
Thanks.
It is. Yeah.
All right. 888-957-9570. Yeah, dude. I like... you know that gif where the dude just saunters into the bar like, I'm here!
Yeah.
It's kind of how I walk into a Giants series now. Like, what's up, Anaheim? We're here.
Dude.
Are we taking two or three from you? What do you want to do?
Your choice.
Your choice.
Yeah.
But we're not doing one, and we're certainly not doing none.
Right.
Logie on the mound tonight. Come on. Who wants to be the losing pitcher on the Angels?
Exactly.
Lock it in.
I mean, who wants to come out of the bullpen and get the win after Logie leaves in a 1-1 game? A little bit of Matt Cain in his game,
you know? Don't do that. Did you know that there are only two baseball teams in the majors who have scored more runs than the Giants this year? Two.
Yep.
That's two.
It. One of them's in in their division.
Well, no, okay, then now three.
Because well, after today's game.
Yeah, that's not fair. They've already played their game and they scored 1,000 runs.
Yep. So but there's actually three now.
If you count that. I mean, the Giants haven't had their chance. Maybe they'll put a 10 spot up tonight. I don't know.
Right. But, and it's weird because the Cubs have played 22 games.
Right. They played more games.
Only played 19.
They played more games. And now the Diamondbacks have played more games. And then the Yankees. The Yankees have scored 9 more runs. Other than that, that's it. The Giants have 11 more runs than the Dodgers, and they've played fewer games.
Yeah.
Huh? Ha, Shohei, and Mookie.
That's right.
And Freddie. Oh, these scary lineups. You're terrifying. The Giants have outscored you with Jung-Hoo Lee, and their two middle-of-the-order hitters haven't even gotten going yet. We can do about that.
Exactly. And we'll see you on the field in July?
That's right.
I hate it.
Mano a mano. 6 months from now, when the Giants play the Dodgers for a weekend set.
A lot of things are bugging me for a Friday and that's such a beautiful day, but that is one.
That's a good one.
This ballot schedule, it bugs me.
Yeah, but it helps you this year.
It does.
It helps you this year.
You've played the Reds already 6 times.
I know.
And you won't play the Dodgers until I think it's late June. I don't know the exact date, but what are we doing?
The Reds are the only team, I guess the Phillies too, who have had any success against the Giants at all. I think that's 5 of their 6 losses. They have, been undefeated against everybody else almost.
Well, that's 10 of their 19 games.
That's true. That's true. 8-1 in the other games.
Yep.
All right, let's go out to the phones. 888-957-9570. What is the matchup that matters to you? What is the aspect of this series that you are really focused on? For me, it's the Warriors' brains. I just think there is too much savvy, too much veteran know-how, too much playoff experience, too much ability to work the officials. And so you can Shengun me, and you can say, can I get an amen? And you can all you want with all of these athletic freaks that the Houston Rockets have. The Warriors are smarter, been there, done that, and I just cannot for the life of me see how this thing goes longer than 6 games and how anybody but the Warriors comes out on top.
I think it is a 6-gamer, and I put this out earlier on the YouTube chat, I think during the Steiny and Guru experience. I have it as a loss, win, 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 loss, win. I think they lose game 1.
Okay.
And then they get the split in 2. They hold serve at home. You go back to Houston, you lose, and you close it out here in game 6
at home.
That's official Nostradamus prediction.
Yep.
You can lock it up, cuckoosh, or you can just leave it alone. There it is.
But you're betting the Rockets in game 1, huh?
I'm not betting anything.
Minus a point and a half.
Yeah, I'm not betting anything when it comes to the association.
Yeah,
I find it to be so difficult. I mean, just...
I've done okay this year. I don't want to... Yeah, unless something jumps out of the page for a Warrior game, I'm going to avoid those. Because my brain gets all scrambled.
Yeah, and I do
I can't bet against the Warriors. What are we talking about here?
Right. I like a game 2 wager. And in this case, if the Warriors do win game 1, then they'll go into game 2 and they'll probably be favored by 4.5 or 5, I would guess.
That's a big number on the road, but maybe.
And if they lose game 1, then they'll probably be favored by 2.5 or 3 in game 2.
Well, if they lose game 1, I like them even more in game 2.
That's my point. Yeah,
that's... that's when a champion shows up, I think, often. And Houston just doesn't have enough offense to run away from the Warriors, so that's the other thing I would foresee, close basketball games. And if you give me close basketball games, I understand where one person could be like, well, give me the team that's going to rebound better and is more athletic and all that. And I'm like, I'd like the team that's more likely to get a whistle and make their free throws. And that's the Warriors, 100%.
No doubt.
But we'll see. We'll see. What do you think? All right, Jonathan in the city on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. And I totally agree with you, man. At this point, the Rockets are kind of like Nassim Ahmed, a one-trick boxer. And, we're gonna box him. We're going to counter when he throws that one trick, and we're going to counter accordingly. And also, I want to see, if this is wishful thinking, I want to see DeSantos on his way to grabbing one of those rebounds just accidentally sits on and lands his butt right on Dylan Brooks' face. And before he gets up, lets go of a really wet fart.
What is happening? Jonathan, what is this? What are you doing right now, man? Like, have you had a few, or what's happening to you today?
No, that guy triggers me. I'm not like Steve Drew that I let it go already. I still can't believe what he did to GP2. That was 1980s NBA is no place for today's NBA, and I can't let it go, guys.
I understand that. I'm somewhere in between, but I'm not fully over, and thank you, Jonathan. I'm not fully over Dylan Brooks, but I didn't like Dylan Brooks before that happened. I just don't prefer basketball players like that. And I know what some of you are going to say, which is, well, wait a minute, you root for Draymond Green. I do see them as a little bit different. Draymond does push the line and cross the line, but he encompasses such unbelievable basketball know-how. I see Dylan Brooks. Now, he is impressed this year with the way he shot the ball. I'm not going to call him skillless by any stretch, but I do think Dylan is somebody who literally walks onto the floor and is looking to push, shove, fight, challenge the rules immediately. I don't mind trash talk. I don't mind getting in the other's head, but I'd love more skill than what I see with or the skill that you have, use it. I feel this way about James Harden, who's incredibly skilled.
Right.
But
right.
The skill that he uses most is trying to fool people. I'm like, dude, no, use your basketball skill.
It's not what he tries to do the most, but it is part of his repertoire.
A lot.
I'll give you that. And I don't think that Dylan Brooks is a guy who gets out on the floor and is thinking first and foremost about fouls, hard fouls, dirty play, and the rest of it. And this year, you pointed out the skill level, and he shot almost 40% from three.
He's their best three-point shooter this year by numbers.
He's 35.5% for his career, and this year he shot more threes than ever, and he made more threes. And, you know, he's 29. He's now been in the league for 8 years, and it looks like, well, this year might be the anomaly, but it looks like he's actually improving and getting better. And I do have a little bit of a softer spot for him, having watched the documentary of the Olympics. Was it the gold? It wasn't gold medal, but it was
quarter gold.
Thank you, quarter gold. Thank you, Grandy. I'll make eye contact. Thank you, Grandy.
Yeah. Ding.
Yeah, ding yourself. Dylan Brooks, there's a scene where he's
welcome.
Having dinner with family. It's like a table of 12.
Why is he in that? I didn't finish it. Why is Dylan Brooks
in
this?
Because they showcase not all the countries, but they do a thing on France. They did a thing on the Joker and his team, and they did a thing on Canada.
Dylan play for Canada?
Yes.
Okay,
So there's a meal that they have, Dylan Brooks and his family, his parents and family friends and siblings, and he comes across as just a sweet, lovable Canadian.
What did he order?
I didn't really look at his plate, and they didn't really dwell on it that long, but you see him out to dinner.
That's what I want to know. Isn't that what you ask someone when they tell you that they went to a restaurant? What'd you get?
Right, but I didn't ask him.
No,
I didn't talk to him. Yeah, and it was like a two-minute thing.
I'm just telling
thing.
You why I was interested in knowing that. Yeah. I want to know. You can learn
something. I can go back and look at it.
You can learn a thing or two about a person based on what they order.
And the way he came across in that scene and in that documentary, Court of Gold, thank you, Grandy. You could probably, you know, co-sign on this. He came across better than what I thought he was.
Well, hold on.
I'm probably the only person in this market who doesn't hate Dylan Brooks.
Yeah, because
he went to Oregon.
Thank you.
I have actually talked to him as a person. He is a very fine person.
Oh, God.
What? Person. I don't know about a basketball player, but as a person.
How long did you talk to him to be able to come to that?
Well, over the course of multiple times.
Uh-huh.
As a member of the media.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
If you really like him, you would have called him something better than very fine person.
So when someone speaks to a media member, even multiple times, you then know, you know that person.
Yeah, you know Steve Kerr.
I don't claim to know Steve Kerr. I think judgments on Steve Kerr can be based on a lot of things because for over a decade we've watched the way he's handled multiple situations, what he has said about certain things, not just the fact that we've talked to him directly a whole bunch of times. You know what I mean? Like I'm not going to claim, for instance, like people will do this, like the Warrior players, we feel like we know them, right? Because we've listened to them talk a million times. Do you know if they're a good dad or husband? And no clue.
No clue.
No clue.
No clue.
So I'm glad Dylan was nice to you before he got a paycheck.
Thanks.
But actions speak louder than words in my house.
I get that. And I'm just relaying what I watched and what I felt when I watched it. It doesn't mean that, you know, I'm all Team Brooks now, and I won't forget what he did to Gary Payton, even though Steve Kerr has said that's in the past and, you know, you got to move forward. I just look at this series, and you talk about matchups. I'm looking at the Dylan Brooks, Draymond Green matchup, not head-to-head, but more about composure and who gets more technical fouls in this series.
Who gets more technical fouls in the series?
Pretty even matchup, I think.
Pretty even matchup. It's a playoff, so probably Draymond. Probably him though. Yeah, Draymond.
Dylan's not afraid to get a tech. He got 16 this year, number two in the league.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. And now, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios,